Well, this morning I have the opportunity to continue along in the sermon series that we're looking at in the season of Advent. And last week I talked about living in the light of peace. And the first week, living in the light of hope. And next week I'm going to talk about living in the light of love. But today I'm talking about living in the light of joy. If you didn't catch the sermons from last week, you can go on the website, www.graceunited.ca, and you can catch up on all the stuff that we talked about in the last 2 weeks. But today, I want to talk about joy. So if I were to give you a piece of paper this morning and to ask you to write down 10 things that when you encounter them, you feel a sense of joy or a sense of happiness, what kind of things would you put on your list? Well, maybe it would be something like this. It'd be nice to go away for a holiday, get out of the cold and into the sun. Or maybe it'd be nice to have a visit from the grandkids, or have a better job, get a better income. Or maybe a weekend away with your partner where you can just kind of ignite that romance and just have a nice time away. Perhaps it's a day without the kids fighting. I don't know, not too many of you have kids fighting in your homes today, but in the first service, definitely. Or listening to music, or going out for dinner, or hiring a maid. There's maybe one. Hey, wouldn't that bring a smile and feel good? You know, you could hire a maid to look after all the details of the house, and you could just be the king or the queen of the castle. Or maybe just having that perfect musical performance. You know, when all the choir sings on tune and comes in at the right time and everything just meshes and it's an incredible performance. Well, maybe yours would have some other things on your list. But the shortcoming of these kind of lists is that the joy connected with these events is always temporary. It's short-lived. Because you can go on a holiday, but you got to come back to the snow. You can get a new job, but then there'll be new responsibilities and pressures. The kids could come and visit, or the grandkids, but then they have to go back home. And all the joys on these lists are short-lived. But when you ask people what would bring joy into your life, they always have this tendency to list some things like these. And I want to talk to you today about the difference between happiness and joy, because they are quite different. Happiness is external. It depends upon something outside me. Something happened. Like I sent you a letter this week about somebody who bought me a coffee at Tim Hortons. Did you read that, any of you? I was going to the drive-thru, and I got to the window, had my order all placed, and she handed me my coffee, and she says, "The person in front of you paid for it. Have a Merry Christmas." And I was amazed at how good I felt about that. It felt joyful. It felt really positive. I didn't know the person. I kind of wanted to see, but they were long gone. But it depends on what happens around you. But joy is something that happens in you. Happiness is based on chance, like that coffee paid for me. Joy is based upon a choice, a decision that you make. Happiness is circumstantial. Joy is based on our connection and relationship with Christ. Happiness is momentary, and joy is enduring. And so the goal in the Christmas event is to help us begin to tap in to this enduring joy that is available to us, and not be so dependent upon the circumstances and the external things that happen to you. And here's the secret. If you have an enduring joy inside you, then when good things happen on the outside, you appreciate them way more. It's kind of like your kids when they phone. If they haven't phoned for a long time, you go, "Well, it's about time you phoned," right? Ever done that to your kids? 3 weeks, and I haven't heard from you for 3 weeks. But if you have this internal joy, even though you haven't heard from them for 4 months, you go, "Thank you for calling. It was great to hear from you. So the better and the more your internal joy, the greater your enduring joy, the more you encounter the wonder and the joy of some of the circumstances in situations that we encounter. So I want you to understand, first of all, that joy is a spiritual quality. It's not connected to the physical part. This deep joy is not connected to the physical world. It's a spiritual peace. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 22 and 23, Paul here is talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And there in the second one he talks about is the fruit of joy. It's a spiritual thing. It's a quality that we encounter as people of faith. It's not based on the circumstances. It's not based on what happens to you and around you. It's about how it shifts and changes me on the inside. And as I change on the inside, then I begin to perceive the world in a different way, in a different manner. In the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, the 11th verse, Jesus is talking with his disciples on the night he is betrayed. So it's a pressure time for Jesus. It's not a really happy time. But he's talking to his disciples about a whole lot of things, and he goes on and he says, "These things I have spoken to you." So these things I have been telling you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And the first important piece I want you to understand about this deep, enduring joy is it's not yours. It's a joy that comes to us from being in connection with Christ. It is the joy of Christ that brings the deep, enduring joy into our life. And the purpose of that joy that we encounter in Christ is for what? So that your joy, your encounter in life, will be full and enriched. And so this deep, enduring joy is a joy that comes to us through Christ, and it comes from God. Whoops, too fast. Stephen Furtick said this, "My joy is not determined by what happens to me, but what Christ is doing in me and through me." And Stephen is a singer-songwriter and a pastor, and he understands that his joy in life, his joy that comes from Christ, is not determined by what's going around you. There's always going to be things changing around you. You're going to have good days and bad days. Everybody has them. But this internal joy is based on my connection with Christ. And it's because of that, it becomes a resource for the tough days, for the difficulties and the challenges of our living. And so how do we get this deep joy? How do we get this enduring joy so that we can incorporate it into our life and we can develop it and it can be the foundation upon which we encounter life as a whole? And I want to start by talking about the source of Christ's joy. If, in fact, Jesus said, "My joy is in you so that your joy may be full," then what gave Christ his joy? Where was the source of joy for Christ that enabled him to give it away to his disciples? And there were three things that were the source of Jesus' joy. The first one was his sense of oneness with God. In the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, the 11th verse, he says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." So Jesus said, "I'm one with God. God and I are the one. There's not two people. I know you don't understand this, but we're one and the same. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." That's what he said to Philip. And Jesus had this sense of oneness with God that we don't fully grasp and comprehend, but this oneness that he felt, this connection, this bond that he encountered with the eternal God that he experienced inside was a source of strength and joy for his living. And the second piece is his awareness of God's love around him and within him. Sometimes we say at Christmas time, it has love that has come down to earth. Have you ever heard that? Love coming down? And the Christmas story is about a God who is the source of love, who comes in the form of an infant to take on the flesh, God incarnate, so that we can encounter love. And Jesus had this awareness of God's love. And that's why throughout his ministry, he had the strength to go out and talk to people about God's love and to assure people, especially those outside the church, because Jesus didn't go to the church first, right? He went to the tax collectors. He went to the downtrodden. He went to the sick. He went to the poor. He went to the tax collectors. And the reason is because Jesus was a threat to the church of that day. And that's why there was always this tension between Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees. And Jesus, because he knew and experienced God's love within him, went out and assured people that they were valued and loved by God. And Jesus tried to constantly, to the downtrodden and the beaten, help them realize, you know, God loves you way more than you can possibly imagine. Way more than the scribes and the Pharisees have told you about. And I've come that you might encounter that love through me. And so it was his bond, his connection with God, his oneness that was a source of joy. It was this experience of God's love in him and through him that was a second part of his joy. And the third is Christ's return to be with God. Jesus knew that earth was not his final location. And in this 17th chapter, in the 11th verse, he says, I will remain in the world no longer. But they, the disciples, are still in the world, and I am coming to you, to God. And it said, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And so Jesus knew that his journey, his ultimate location, his ultimate destiny was not to be in this world. And that gave him a source of joy and assurance in tough times to know that this is just part of the journey. This is not the whole story. This is not what's always going to happen to me. This is just something I'm going to encounter, and then I'm going to encounter and experience that final oneness and love and destiny in the presence of God's kingdom and God's love. And those three things, his oneness with God, his connection with God, his awareness of God's love, and his awareness of his destiny, these were the three components that were the source of Jesus' joy. And it was that joy that gave him the strength to do what he did and to be who he was, and then to say to us, that's the joy I want you to have. That's the joy that's going to make your joy full. And so the source of our joy needs to be recalibrated. Our spirituality needs to be recalibrated and shifted. We need to push the reset button in our lives. Because too many in the church have adopted the values and the spirituality of the community, which says, it's only joyful if you encounter it now. It's only joyful if you're going to experience it sometime soon. It says, who cares about a joy that's going to happen 300 years from now? Do you care about a joy that happens 300 years from now? Do you? Hopefully you will by the time I finish. Because most of us in the church have bought into the same kind of spirituality in the neighborhood. You know, our friend said, it's only hope if we counter it now. It's only hope if my life changes now. It's only peace if I encounter it now. It's only joy if that's something I experience now. And the recalibration is for us to understand the kind of peace and the joy that Jesus had. And the source of Jesus' joy becomes the source of our joy as well. And our joy comes from being reminded that we're not alone. Every Christmas, we talk about the Christ child coming, and we call his name, which means God is with us, right? It's the reminder that there's nothing that's going to happen in your life. Doesn't matter how easy it is or how tough it's going to be, there's nothing in your life that you're going to encounter alone, because there is Emmanuel, this person, this presence that will walk with us and will struggle with us and cry with us when we're down and remind us that we're not alone. The second is the source of our joy is an awareness that we are reconciled to God. In Romans, the 5th chapter, 11th verse, it says that we are reconciled to God, that we are reconnected with God. And that's why Jesus came. In the Old Testament, the people were disenfranchised by God. They only could get at God through the rituals and through the priests. And Jesus came and said, because of me, everybody has access to God. Everybody can have a oneness with God. Everybody has God as a source for your life, because we are reconciled, we are reconnected, we're in a deep one relationship with the eternal God through the presence of Christ in our living. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul said to the church, this is what God has done. This is from God, who through Christ has reconciled us to him and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our goal as a church, is to help others know that they're reconciled. We're going to get into that with a new vision when we talk about engaging the community. And the third piece here is, God reminds us, or Jesus reminds us, that God is the source of love itself. And Jesus came so that we might have a greater awareness and understanding who God is. God realized that the problem is that your finite mind, my finite mind, can't grasp the eternal nature of who God is. And so God came in the flesh, in the form of a baby, in the presence of Jesus. And the whole purpose is so that we would have a greater understanding of the characteristics and who God is. It's a great story I read about a little boy who was looking for a dog. And he was driving by in the country, and one of the edge of the driveway, it says, dogs for sale. And so he got on his bike, and he rode to this little farm, and he went up, and there was a man outside in the yard, and he says, Mister, are you selling dogs? I saw a sign that says dogs for sale. He says, yeah, I'm selling dogs. He goes, well, how much are they? He says, well, between $30 and $50 a piece, depending on which one. And the little boy says, well, can I see them? And so the man says, sure. And he goes, and whistled, and the dogs came up, and they were little fluff balls, you know, little puppy dogs. Cute as a button. Four of them comes whipping out, playing, rolling. And one straggler dog was limping but trying to have the same kind of energy as the other dogs. And the little boy said, what's wrong with that last dog? And the man says, well, you know, you don't want him because he really doesn't have a well-formed socket and he can't run. And he'll never be able to run. He'll always have this deformed leg. And the little boy said, well, I want him. And he says, no, you don't want him, son. You know, I told you, he's not going to be able to run with you and play with you as you get older. As you get faster, that little dog's not going to be able to do anything that you want him to do. And the little boy said, I still want him. He goes, well, why? Okay, if you want the dog, he said, I'll give him to you. You know, you don't have to. He said, no, I want to pay. I've got $5. I'm going to give you this $5, and every month I'm going to give you $5 more until I've paid the price of that dog. The little man was, the man was kind of wondering what the heck was going on. He says, like, why on earth do you want that rut, that puppy that can't run, that can't? And the little boy pulled up his pant leg, and he had this twisted leg with a big knee brace on it. And he said, I want to buy that dog. So when that dog can't run, he will know someone like me who understands. That's what God did. God came so that we would have a better understanding of who God is. And the last piece here is the source of our joy, like Jesus, is around future destiny. Your destiny is not in this world, folks. You are time travelers. You guys watch the Time Traveler show on television, right? This whole series of this time travel that goes through time. Well, you don't go back and forth in time, but you're traveling in time here in this place, and you don't have any idea how much time you have left. Some of you think you have years. In fact, you have days. Some of you think you have years. You have months. We don't know whether I'll be alive this time tomorrow, because we're travelers in time, and we're called to journey in life and to live life to the fullest. And the way you do that is you encounter that enduring joy of Christ so that I can enjoy being here on Sunday morning with you guys. This is my joy. This is what pumps me up. This is what excites me, just being with you guys on Sunday morning. And if you have the deep joy, then you encounter the incredible blessings that many people miss, just because if you have the enduring joy of Christ, you see the wonder and the blessing of the people that you meet day in and day out. And you realize that I'm traveling here for a time. And when my time is finished, whether it's tomorrow, a year from now, 10 years now, or more, my ultimate destiny is to be back in God's presence, in God's kingdom of love. And just like Jesus, that's a source of our joy. That's why in hard times, there's a joy piece. Because the struggle, the illness, whatever I'm going through now, is not what I'm going to always encounter. There's going to come a time when I'm going to be past this, and I'm going to encounter the peace, the love, the joy, and the hope of God's kingdom and God's care. And so today, we have one Sunday left in Advent. It is a time of preparing. And that's what this sermon series has been about, trying to prepare you to live in the light of hope, to live in the light of peace, to find out and live how to live in the light of joy, so that your life is going to be enriched, and so that your days will be full. And it will not matter whether you have 100 days or 1,000 days left. When you live in the joy of Christ, every day is filled with joy, because we know we're not alone, and we know that we are precious in God's sight, because the Christ child came. May you have the spiritual ability to see the deep things in your life and the deep joy that comes to you because of the Christ child.